Welcome to Night Sky Tourist, a place to learn the night sky, have fun with its ancient stories, meet astronomers and dark sky advocates, and fall in love with the dark. I'm Vicki Dirksen, your host and author of the website and blog, nightskytourist.com. If you've never visited the website, I invite you to stop by after the podcast. Check out some of the great blog articles, browse through the resource page, and sign up for the newsletters. The newsletters have great content that is exclusive for subscribers. Are you ready for an adventure under the night sky? Let's jump right in. For those of us who grew up in the northern part of the United States near the border of Canada, a trip into Canada didn't really feel all that foreign. I grew up in northern Idaho, and I took many trips across the border, back when passports weren't even required to cross. Nothing felt especially different, with the exception of getting a handful of loonies to spend. We'd come back to Idaho and spend our Canadian money at the stores with no problem. It wasn't until I was in high school that I started seeing signs everywhere that said, "No Canadian coins." Now, had I taken a trip to New Brunswick instead of British Columbia or Alberta, I certainly would have felt like I was somewhere else. The French influence is strong in that part of the country, and the landscape is incredibly different than where I grew up. In this episode, I'm chatting with Stéphane Picard, the founder of Cliff Valley Astronomy in New Brunswick, Canada. As so often happens on this podcast, I met Stéphane through Instagram when I came across his Cliff Valley Astronomy account. He was doing something really unique in the world of astrotourism, as we call it, and I knew he needed to be a guest on Night Sky Tourist. Stéphane is an astronomer, an astrophotographer, and an astropreneur, a new word that I learned from him, and I'm loving it. He's also a member of the St. John Astronomy Club and the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada's New Brunswick Center. He launched Cliff Valley Astronomy during the COVID pandemic with star parties for small groups, and it quickly turned into a tremendous business for stargazing. But I'm going to let him tell that story himself. Please join me in welcoming to the podcast, Stéphane Picard. Stéphane, thank you for joining us on the Night Sky Tourist podcast as our very first guest from Canada.
Thank you very much, Vicki. I'm very honored and excited and a little bit scared, but...
Oh, you're going to be great. Yeah, okay. So you're from New Brunswick, and for people who aren't familiar with where all of the provinces are in Canada, tell us where New Brunswick is.
We're the province that wraps around the northern and eastern side of Maine. So I grew up in the region in northwest New Brunswick that the St. John River is the natural border between Canada and the U.S. We crossed the bridge to go to Fort Kent, Maine. So yeah, we're in the east part of the northeast corner of North America.
So how did this Cliff Valley Astronomy come to life? Like what was it that popped into your head that made you decide to do it? And where did you get the name?
A little bit of a background on there. When COVID hit, I was getting back into astronomy. I had been years ago when the kids were very small, but their sports and activities sort of monopolized the time. So I got away from it. So when the pandemic came about and I was looking for something to do, and I was like, it'd be a great time to get back. So I bought a telescope, and you fast forward 24 months, I had purchased 7 telescopes, sold a couple. So I really got back into it quite a bit. And I, in the last 2 years, I've been really dabbing in astrophotography, and astronomy being expensive itself, astrophotography puts it pretty much in a whole different league of investment. And
I have friends who are astrophotographers, and they tell me, you know, if you want to get into astrophotography, that's fantastic, as long as you've got some money to throw away.
Yeah, and that's where I came to quandrum is I love traveling. I have a lot of things on the go, and so when I didn't want to give up too many things, so I said, "Why don't you use your passion for astronomy and start a little bit side business to outlay the cost of my next jump in level for astrophotography?" The name Cliff Valley. I live on the outskirts of St. John, New Brunswick, one of the biggest cities in New Brunswick, and if you go out on my back deck, we're high up on the cliff, about, let's say, 170, 180 feet above the valley that we're overlooking. So the mountains across are actually at the right horizon for me. And I have this huge swath of sky. So that made me really get the number one, the bug and the passion for, because it was easy for me to take the telescope out beyond the deck. The more I got into it, the more telescopes I got, the more I could really enjoy, and that's where that passion came from. So I thought that starting Cliff Valley Astronomy, which was the namesake now, that I could offer the normal person who's not in astronomy the ability to see what we see as well-seasoned astronomers.
So you do a couple of things, but one of the things you do are, we call them star parties or stargazing experiences. So if someone were to engage with you for a star party or a stargazing experience, what would that experience look like?
Well, typically, I can offer a very customized experience, but the standard package, if you will, is typically about 2 hours for a group of up to 12 people. I do a little bit of a talk at first while the telescope does its alignment, and then we play a game and try and make it as interactive without making it too technical or too sciencey, because most people don't have that type of level, and you just would lose them, right? Because it's just too much information. So we play a game, is try to stump the astronomer. So they direct the questions and they sort of set the pace to our 2 hour session. And then you'd be surprised how quickly 2 hours goes by. But typically over 2 hours, we try to see anywhere from 15 to 20 targets. Sometimes we can squeeze in more. It depends. Like if Jupiter and Saturn are around, I do maybe two or three rounds of gradually more magnification to get more and more details. That's really a popular thing that I get a lot of good feedback from doing. So usually that's what our typical star parties go by.
So you have this other thing that you're doing now too, which I find really fascinating. And I think that, people who don't live near you, maybe they have a little bit closer access to being able to participate in a star party or something like that. But you offer something in addition that's, I think, pretty unique at this stage of what we call astrotourism. And that is that you offer some pretty freaking cool astrotourism packages and you've developed some partnerships. So tell us a little bit about that because this might really be the thing that lures people to come visit you in New Brunswick.
So being in the astronomy community in Atlantic Canada, and being privy to a lot of information, and also in doing my research to start a astro themed business, I found that astrotourism was quickly, pre-pandemic, was getting a lot of steam as a growing trend in travel and tourism. So what led me to that? I knew early on when I started Cliff Valley Astronomy that this would be eventually another service offering we would be doing. So I just had to slowly position my little business and start making those contacts out in the tourism operators in the region, because New Brunswick, for a small population, we got 750,000 people in the province. We got six or seven key cities. The three biggest ones are very close to each other. So the rest of the province is quite rural and quite coastal. We got actually water on three sides of the province. And that gives us the benefit that we have four certified dark sky sites in the small province. Three are dark sky preserves, which that designation comes from the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada. There's one in northwest New Brunswick, is Mount Carlton Provincial Park, and that's the highest peak in the Maritimes. at that elevation and so far away from it all, there's no civilization almost in any direction for 50 kilometers. The Milky Way is dark enough to cast a shadow. You can see your shadow of your hand just from the brightness of the Milky Way, which is quite unique for us in our part of the world. And then we have two other dark sky preserves. They're both national parks. One's not too far from me, about an hour away. It's called Fundy National Park, a very popular tourist attraction on the shores of the Bay of Fundy. Great little touristy town. It used to be a shipbuilding town, fishing town, and all that. You can see Nova Scotia in the distance across from the waters, and just immense, beautiful nature down there. And then we got Kuchipukwak, which is more on the eastern side of the province, about 2.5 hours from here, and just below the city of Miramichi. But again, it's a dark sky preserve, and again, very much in nature. You're overlooking the Strait of Northumberland, which is a stretch of water between New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island. So very low skies, because when you're surrounded with water, usually the skies are very low and all that. And right here in St. John, we have Canada's first urban star park. So an urban star park is one of those designated sites. It's on, usually it might be inside city limits or just on the outside, but it's quality dark skies enough to do stargazing. It might not be as good as the dark sky preserves, but you can still get quite a great view.
Which is great to have those kind of opportunities because, people can't necessarily always drive real far to be able to have a stargazing experience. So it's great to have those kind of things a little closer. I mean, the partners that you have, the partnerships that you've created, are some very unique properties. So tell us a little bit about the unique these.
So I called my astrotourism side of the business the Dark Sky Destinations Partner Network. They're all, like you indicated, very unique. I got my friend actually started several years ago Deep Sky Eye Observatory. He's got a cabin that's open year round, and he's got three different sky bubbles, and they're not the glamping bubbles that you're usually seeing, the being the craze lately. These bubbles are, they have a ceiling window. So you lay in bed and you're looking at the dark sky. You can imagine just the views you could get through the sky bubbles. So of the three, there's one that's geared for families, two big beds, and there's two others that are meant for couples. And on top of that, he's got a observatory on the grounds where he does a nocturnal theater, where he'll show use one of his several telescopes in the dome. He's got a 16 inch.
Wow, that's a big telescope.
And he's got in his hands, I think, on two more 16-inch daubs that are not in the dome, but they're outside. And he's got several telescopes outside, so he can slap a camera and project it on the side of the building, or depending on the size of group or the type of experience, they go straight to the eyepiece. And then my four other partners are here in New Brunswick. There's one that's very near here, and it's a single accommodation. But it's a gem of a find. It's such a unique building. It's two buildings. One's the main bedroom. The next building over is where you have the complete kitchen, dining room, and complete four-piece bathroom. And right in front of both buildings, you got outside wood-fired hot tub and sauna. And they're overlooking, high on the cliff, the Bay of Fundy again, overlooking a cove that the cape comes at the end, where it's called Split Rock. At the cape, the rock just, there's a an indent deep into the rock, and some people have done some amazing picture of either sunrises coming through the crevice, or even the Milky Way. And anyways, you're facing again southeast, which is where, if you're gonna sit in the hot tub and look at the stargaze, at the everything coming up, planets, stars, whatever, Milky Way, that's where you gotta stare. So it was such a unique find. Another partner is a little bit further in Alma, and where the Fundy National Park is, Falcon Ridge Inn, which is one of the more popular accommodations place. They got four complete rooms with en suites. It's just a beautiful place. Again, they're high up on the mountain. They're overlooking the bay in the direction, again, southeast. They're not even 10 minutes from Fundy National Park. They have on the other side, heading eastward, you can get to Hopewell Rocks Provincial Park. So that part of New Brunswick or the Bay of Fundy has the highest tides in the world. The water goes up and down by at least 30 feet, depending
Wow.
on the tide level. So when the tide's down, you can go walk down on the seabed. And then you have these rock formations that during the day when the water's high, they look like little islands. But when the water's gone down 30 feet, they're like these, they call them flower pot rocks because they just stand up so high and all that. So that's pretty neat. And some people have been doing unique astro nightscape Milky Way photography and putting those objects in the foreground. And that nowhere else in the world can you experience that. And also near Falconridge Inn, there's places like lighthouses, stuff. That type of stuff is very popular with nightscape photography. Covered bridges, the fishing town. You can go down the pier and do a nice, beautiful, again, picture of the night sky and have some fishing boats in the foreground, So it's just a beautiful, beautiful area. And then Falconridge Inn is one I was really happy to have. I wanted a partner definitely in Alba because of the Dark Sky Preserve, and they were quick to say yes, and they've been a fantastic partner. And then I'll quickly go through the last two ones a little bit east of not far from Kuchipukwak National Park. Another Dark Sky Preserve is Glamping with the Sea, and the name's a little bit deceiving because it's not a glamping dome, it's actually a belt tent, and
Oh,
it's sitting
yes.
on top of a built-out deck. And you have all the amenities you could even want inside the tent. There's a queen bed, there's a little wood stove, there's a sitting area. You step outside your tent, there's a partial roof that covers the sitting area and the full kitchen. And then you got a huge yard that leads again to the waterfront facing towards PEI. It's a beautiful, it's like tenting on steroids. It's luxurious, it's deluxe, and it's private. One of the key things I like about this site is because of the way they're positioned on the water, they kind of have a good straight eye towards the northern direction. So when we get northern lights, you could have a really good, strong view in that direction and hopefully catch them or at least catch them with your camera. The owners are a young couple and they're so enthused. I talked them into buying a telescope to offer for their guests at no charge. And so when you book there, you'll have access to the telescope. Then the final location is one of my favorite spots in the province that I've been going there for over 10 years. It's in the central part of the province where it's very woodsy along the Miramichi River. It's Storytown Cottages. And it's a campus resort of several cottages and the main building that offers more like little hotel suites and all that. But you're again in dark skies. You're on the river. They have a huge field in front of the massive property. It's private, and you can go down the field and you get low horizons in the 360 degree. You're in nature. There's bald eagles all over the place. There's deer on the property and all this and that. So it's really connecting with nature, and they have just a great location there.
So you've talked about how stunning the night sky is,
Yes.
and then you've talked about the northern lights, and we're coming up on this period of time of more solar activity, which means more dramatic northern lights. But
Yes.
there's also something coming up next year in 2024 that I would love for you to share with us what it is and what you're doing.
So April 8th will be the great total solar eclipse again. There was one in 2017. This time I think it crosses in a different direction, and it's going to visit New Brunswick for the first time in over 50 years. And coming back to one of my partners on the Dark Sky Destinations Network, Storytown. I had the idea of, okay, well, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for a lot of people, and we're going to be launching Sky Experience 2024, and it's going to be from April 7th to the 9th. And We've completely reserved the cottages and accommodations at Storytown Cottages. In town, there's an inn called the Ledges Inn. So we've completely booked that off too. And now we'll be selling packages that are all inclusive. You just need to get there. Once you're there, your accommodations are provided, all your meals, your activities. We got some great speakers. The keynote speaker is Richard Zarowski, who's a well-known media personality in our area of the world. He's a weatherman, but he's also a scientist, and he's collaborated with Discovery Channel on certain things. And then for other speakers, more astronomy related, Trevor Jones, probably the best known astrophotographer in Canada. He runs astrobackyard.com, the YouTube channel, and he's also an astro-entrepreneur like you and I, and him and his wife are involved in the business. And I also have Ashley, his wife, as one of our speakers. So she's a, along with yourself, I believe we're all IDA members. And she has a real passion for dark sky preservation, and she's cornering her her talk around that topic. And then I have a lovely couple from New Jersey who are amateur astronomers but also expert birders, Lisa Ann and Rob Fanning, who will be joining us. And they'll be doing a talk and presentation as well as an excursion in the woods to do some birding with our group. And we're going to have some other activities. We've planned some receptions, some star parties if the weather cooperates. And all of a sudden, we got a full 2.5 days, quite nonstop. And at one point on the 8th, we will take a few hours in the afternoon to set ourselves up for the eclipse. And God willing, that's why I got Richard as a keynote. He's a weather guy. Hopefully, he can put in a good word. And even if we're clouded over, we're going to stream, have it streamed in, but we're still going to experience the darkness and all that. And being in that part of New Brunswick, the wildlife, we will see and feel it as well. So it's still going to be a unique experience. So that's our event that we're planning for this coming April 2024.
And so people need to understand that if this is something they're even remotely interested in traveling to experience, this is the time to start looking into planning that and booking things, because I'm telling you, people who are really into this stuff, they've already got their stuff situated. So.
And I think what's working for our advantage, Vicky, for this event is New Brunswick will be the best jurisdiction in Canada to see next year's eclipse.
Well, Stefan, I thank you so much for sharing with us about your amazing business that you've started here. Thank you for being our first Canadian guest.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm just so happy that we've connected, and I might have some ideas for us to work together, actually, as we'll
Oh,
stay in
bring it
touch.
on. Let's do it. Let's do it.
For
All
sure.
right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
It's time for our tour across the night sky for late March 2023. Pause the podcast, turn off all the lights, gather everyone in your house, and I'll meet you outside under the stars. If you're listening to this on the day it's published, which is March 28th of 2023, there will be an impressive lineup of planets tonight. Starting at the western horizon at twilight and then moving upward, you'll see Jupiter, Mercury, Venus, Uranus, and Mars all lined up. Uranus will be the only one that's not visible to the naked eye, but the other four are really easy to see without any equipment. Use the stargazing app if you're unsure so you can easily locate them. Just make sure you turn down the screen brightness on your phone and put it in night mode so you can protect your night vision. Let's hop across some constellations tonight, starting over there at the western horizon. We'll start with the star cluster known as the Pleiades. It looks like a compact Little Dipper. How many stars can you see with your naked eye? The Pleiades is known in many cultures around the world as the Seven Sisters, but there are only six stars visible to the naked eye. When Galileo first aimed his telescope there in 1610, he observed 36 stars. But our modern telescopes have confirmed over 1,000 stars in this cluster. The Pleiades is part of a much larger constellation, and that is Taurus, the bull. You can spot the bull's face by finding a smaller grouping of stars in the shape of a V. One of those stars is a bright red star called Aldebaran. This V shape is called the Hyades. And if you follow each side of the V upward, away from the point, you can find the tips of the bull's horns. Again, use your stargazing app if you have trouble finding all the stars of Taurus. Looking to the southeast of Taurus is the famous Orion constellation. It's easily spotted by finding the three stars in a row that make up Orion's belt. Many cultures around the world saw this constellation as a hunter. See that bright red star in his shoulder? That's the star Betelgeuse. We're going to come back to Betelgeuse in a minute after we finish our little jaunt across the sky. North of Orion is the constellation that's shaped like a house, as you would have drawn as a child. It's called Auriga. It has one exceptionally bright star called Capella, and Capella is the sixth brightest star in the night sky. Now head a bit to the southeast of Auriga to find Gemini. Gemini is easy to spot by finding the twin stars of Castor and Pollux. To the east of Gemini is the very faint constellation of Cancer, the crab. If you live under light-polluted skies, this one can be really tricky to spot because all of its stars are dim. It's easier to see if you've given your eyes about 30 minutes or more to adjust to the dark, and that's without looking at your stargazing app during that time. But if you can't find it, by all means, use your stargazing app and see if you can spot it. To the east of Cancer is the mighty Leo, the lion. I always look for the backwards question mark that makes up his head and the right triangle that makes up his back legs as he lays down on his haunches. To the east of Leo is Virgo. Virgo's just now making an appearance in the evening sky, and since it's so large, you're probably only going to see some of its stars, unless, of course, you're stargazing late at night right now. So that takes us from horizon to horizon. But let's go back to Betelgeuse, that bright red star in Orion's shoulder, because it's a pretty fascinating star. Betelgeuse is considered a runaway star because it's left its birthplace and it's moving through the interstellar medium. And that's just the stuff that fills the space between stars. It's a big red supergiant. In fact, it's one of the largest stars we can see with the naked eye. If we were to replace our sun with Betelgeuse, it would displace Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars and stretch clear into the asteroid belt. One of the most striking characteristics of Betelgeuse is that its brightness flickers over time. Sometimes it's the 10th brightest star in the sky, but sometimes it dims. This has been observed by cultures around the world for thousands of years. The dimming and the redness have meaning in various mythologies. One Aboriginal tribe in South Australia saw Betelgeuse as a club that filled with fire magic that would dissipate and return. In Northern Australia, it was known as owl eyes flickering. In South Africa, the red Betelgeuse was seen as a lion hungrily gazing toward three zebras. And the three zebras? They're the stars that make Orion's belt. Various North American indigenous groups saw Betelgeuse as the severed arm of a chief, whereas in Brazil, it was seen as a severed leg that was cut off by the hero's wife. For the Inuit, when the two shoulder stars of Orion, Betelgeuse and Bellatrix, rise on the horizon at sunset, they know that it's spring. What I find to be the most fascinating is the cultural connections between Betelgeuse and Antares. Antares is a bright red star in the constellation Scorpius, and it's often called the heart of the scorpion. Antares is also a star that varies in brightness. So you have these two red stars, both varying in brightness, Betelgeuse and Antares, but they're on opposite sides of the sky from each other. They can never be seen at the same time. And there's some interesting mythological stories tied to this phenomena because many considered it to be significant. Some stories refer to a battle between Orion and Scorpius, in which Scorpius wins. When Orion finally drops below the western horizon in the late spring, it's often seen as the death of Orion as Scorpius begins to rise on the eastern horizon. According to Greek mythology, Orion was vain and boastful about his hunting skills, and he claimed there was no animal on earth that he could not kill. And then he started bragging that he would kill every animal. So Gaia, the earth goddess, sent Scorpius the scorpion to sting and kill Orion. This made them mortal enemies. So Zeus placed the two in the sky in such a way that the two enemies would never meet. According to legend, this is why you can never see these two constellations in the same sky together. Be sure to check out the show notes for everything mentioned in this episode, especially the amazing eclipse opportunity with Cliff Valley Astronomy, or visit nightskytourist.com/62. That's nightskytourist.com/62. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Night Sky Tourist Podcast. If you enjoy the Night Sky Tourist Podcast, please show your support by subscribing to it in your podcatcher and leave a written review. Your reviews are really important to me and they help others discover the podcast. Be sure to visit nightskytourist.com for great articles and resources. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter for exclusive content. We'll see you here again in 2 weeks. Until then, keep looking up.